Andrei, let's start with what's going on in Kharkiv. And we've seen that Russians are moving a lot of weapons to the Sumy region at the border. Are they trying to make in a buffer zone, a safe zone, or what's the plan on their part, in your opinion?
Both buffer zone and also continue to stretch whatever left of the reserves of the armed forces of Ukraine and those bunch of the so-called advisors and volunteers. I mean, so I looked up today's losses. Basically, it comes down to removing one brigade, full brigade a day from the front line. So that's why you have this hysteria in the West, because they finally learned how to do their basic arithmetics.
Yeah. And when right now we are hearing that French are training Ukrainians, and here Lithuania is ready to send trainers to Ukraine. It's
Yeah, I
unbelievable.
know.
How Lithuania is coming in. And when it comes to this rhetoric on the part of Europeans, how they can, in your opinion, militarily, how they can contribute to Ukrainians.
Well, that's a joke. I don't remember who said it yesterday, I believe. It was either Dmitry Orlov or Larry Johnson, I believe. Oh, maybe Scott, actually. I think so. The French can train them in terms of surrendering. Okay, so that's good. They have experience. Their militaries, with the exception of the French nuclear deterrent, you look at, for example, UK, United Kingdom, what used to be the not so Great Britain. It's a joke. Their academy, Sandhurst, is a joke, as are people who teach there. So comes to their British general staff, and pretty much you look at them, and what can I say? The only military which could be taken half seriously is United States. But then again, as I am on record, the United States is a nuclear biased nation. They know they cannot fight the real combined arms operation or war in the European theater. So guess what? They're gonna have their, butt handed to them, and they will go nuclear. That's the only thing they know how to do. Because actually, again, who are you going to send there? People who have experience in what amounts? Well, you know what? It has this, how to put it politely, fancy title, which is counterinsurgency, okay? It is all this Pentagon verbiage, which they've been basically littering their military science for decades now. But it all amounts to the high-intensity police operation. You can observe yourself how, oh, the best army, in the world, Israel Defense Force is just basically being humiliated in the real, close quarter fight by Hamas. Not that I really approve of Hamas, but it is what it is. So, you know what? They need to go back to school to learn what real war is, if they ever knew what it is, So that's what we have.
Right now, we're hearing that Stoltenberg was talking about using NATO weapons to attack Russia, inside Russia. And they're talking, a lot of Europeans are talking about this. Do you understand what's the plan on their part, why they're doing this? It seems that they're making noises, and it's important to know what's the reason behind these noises that they're making right now.
I agree with you. It's primarily noises. No, there are some nut jobs and fanatics in Washington, D.C., and like in Poland, like Sikorsky and his wife, Anne Applebaum, who is fanatical, Russophobic. She's a rabbit, basically. So most of them are. But primarily noises, and remarkable thing about those noises is that, okay, as if that hasn't been done before. They constantly need to regurgitate the same point to make sure that PR machine is still operating. And so they go and repeat same old for years now, essentially. Russia has been attacked by their, again, starting from October 2023, it became a normal procedure for Russian air defense system to intercept ATACMS over Belgorod and Kursk regions. This is Russia proper. If you're going to play this game, they've been attacking with the Storm Shadow Crimea, nonstop. So, and since 2022, I believe, late 2022, early 2023. So, what's the news? The news is that they need to continue and maintain this high level, high intensity hysteria to whip up the public into the frenzy. And because, yeah, they are, they are like this deer in the headlights. They don't know what to do. And I'm on record now, it's never before. I mean, there are now no competent people in the political and military system of the combined West who know what to do. They are totally ignorant, they're badly educated, and they cannot even recognize what they are observing. And again, as I already stated, take anybody from Pentagon, they have no freaking clue or real, reference point in whatever they did ever in their lives, which they would encounter, for example, on the line of the combat contact in Ukraine. So they have no reference point. They don't understand it. And they never fought anything like this. And as I already stated, you don't have to go far or count, so to speak, all those public statements. Go to the field manuals. It is all this blah, 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 long range fires. We go in, our aviation bombs the crap out of those guys. Hey, this is not how real war works. People shoot back at you. And technologically, as I already stated, or you can quote me on this, United States lost the arms race.
You're talking about Baltic states getting involved together with Poland, getting involved in the conflict in Ukraine, sending troops to Ukraine. Are they getting to a point of desperation that they would send these troops to Ukraine to fight Russia?
Mr. Putin already stated 2 days ago, any Polish force which comes in is not coming out. I'm quoting him. They're not going back. They will be all killed. Talking about Baltic states, are they going to send what, like 2.5 people, 2.5 men? And maybe so. It's not even serious. The only serious is could be Poland, because obviously they have nut jobs in their government. They are Russophobic in the extreme, and some portions of the Polish populations are. But again, this is until they, whatever is the Polish military objects are out there. As I already stated, Mr. Putin is on record. He stated, "You do stupid things," and he was talking to British. Your military objects, outside Ukraine will be done with. And so they want the war, they will get it. And the question is now that if you look attentively at the irrational, it's basically schizophrenic behavior of such people as Macron. And especially when you look at this pathetic military of Great Britain, so you can see yourself, there is a kind of two contradicting feelings. Fear, almost to the point of, how to put it, emptying their bowels. And of course, they are understanding that they cannot not continue with the same line of thought. They don't have ability to react to this, as I already stated. When you look at the combined Western militaries and their intel services, it's all about PR. They live in the insulated world of wet fantasy, and that is why Mr. Biden goes out on the Memorial Day and says that the United States saved the world on D-Day, and it didn't. It was Soviet Union which bore the brunt of the Nazi and Axis forces. So, but yeah, that's pretty much. It's really reached the point when we can say that they're schizophrenic.
It seems that there is a race going on between Macron and Boris Johnson in Europe. They're trying to show neocons in the United States who's the best leader of the European Union to help the United States. And we've seen that Boris Johnson invited a group of Azov battalion. And it's so amazing to see that he's calling them heroes, these neo-Nazis. And it's all about domestic policy in the United Kingdom. It's all about satisfying Washington. How do you see this event in this invitation of Boris Johnson?
It's both. It's both. The guy has He has no consciousness. He has no morals, as most of the people in the West, in the top military political echelons, have. As I already stated, the politics in general, it's not only in the combined West, but it is in combined West where it reached this fever pitch. It usually attracts sociopath, narcissists, and people without morals or values. Remember, Marjorie Taylor Greene, she stated, I believe it was Ann Carson, she said, if they tell you that actually average US senator will sell his family for the fancy dinner, she said, it's worse than that. And this is what we have to understand about these people. They are sociopaths, and because obviously their narcissistic view of the world is, crushing on them, and they want to live comfortable life in, with those, ideations and confusion about the role and the scale of the United States in the human history. They have to come up with all kinds of these, reactions, which are reactions, as I already stated, we have to use now this schizophrenic. They have been schizophrenic for a while, but now it reached complete pathological levels. And that's how it ceases to operate, even whatever the remnants, for example, in the United States of a republic. In terms of Europe, as I already stated, you can quote me on that. They are irrelevant. They are nobodies. And the only reason, for example, Russia continues to deal with Europe, still continuing to, send some energy and things of this nature, is because there have been long-term contracts concluded, and Russians are usually very, diligent in following the letter of the contract. So, other than that, I mean, yeah, there's nobody to talk to. It's over. Europe is gone, and probably, well, people already giving the forecast that they might end up in such a economic calamity that it will surpass even the 19th and 20th century tribulations there. So there you go.
Yeah. Putin was reporting that the production of missiles and artillery has increased 22 times and electric warfare by 15 times. And he goes that how the production of military equipment has increased during this war. At the same time, we're hearing that in the Western media, they're talking about that Russia outproduces the whole West by 3 times. Do you think their estimation of 3 times more is accurate or is much more than that?
Well, it's much more than that. Again, the production of tanks, okay, in Russia, and it was last year. It increased. We know that increased, but nobody gonna tell you the numbers. But once Putin, like last year, came out and said 1,600 tanks a year. So you have to understand. They try to spin it, I mean, in the West, like, oh yeah, there are some, which are being repaired and modernized. Yes, there is some share of the tanks there, which are being, like, I believe there are even some T-64s actually running around there somewhere. But overwhelming majority of those tanks are brand new T-72B3, T-90M Prariv, and now they are obviously adding to this number of T-80s, which people evidently love. So on the front line. So yeah, it's overwhelming dominance in terms of the military production, and that's why it is so dangerous for them to report on those actual numbers. In terms of the missiles, it's not only just the number, which is overwhelming. It is the quality of those missiles. Don't forget, Russians use, it's astounding variety of the missiles. And so, yeah, it's much more, much more. Maybe, I don't know, not 3.5, more than that in terms of the missiles. So, and again, Russian economy is merely kind of, gearing up. So, and that's what it is.
Andrei, do you think that the Russian strategy right now is to overstretch the Ukrainian army? That would be much easier to attack strategic points on the front line.
No, that's stretching, definitely. There's no doubt it's stretching. And I actually made a video today where I talk about that what many people do not understand, that primarily, especially when you look at the Kharkov Axis, The fight is constant within the, urban environment, because you constantly run through this town, that village, this town. They literally start and never end. They one town ends, the other one begins, so. And you have to constantly be kind of, you don't want to throw people there and die, because Russians also want to preserve their personnel. It's absolutely normal. This is definitely the part of it. Now, there is another thing, which is it's an 800-pound gorilla, of which I speak constantly. Russian armed forces continue to receive at least 30,000 volunteers a month. And people have to ask a question: what size now the Russian military should be? And the size of the actual Russian military with reserves is such that it is ready to face any combination of NATO forces. Even if the United States Navy, somehow with its preposition forces and things like that, will be even allowed to provide any kind, of activity on the shipping lanes of communications from the eastern seaboard towards Europe to, bring there those brigades, Stryker and armor brigades and things of this nature. Even that, you place it there, you will have untrained troops, and with the technology, which is, well, it's a table of equipment and organization and equipment, which is stuck in 1990s. And so they want to go against their, well, I don't like to use this term, battle hardened, but yes, you are going to army which successfully for 2+ years stood against the combined aid from the NATO and whatever the NATO had. United States never had anything better than Ukrainian military circa February 2022. What they forget to constantly tell you, that by May 2022, the first iteration of those armed forces, Ukrainian armed forces, have been practically wiped out by the grossly outnumbered Russian military. So, and you see, that's the problem. It's again about the attention span, and it is also about spin in the media. But reality is such that Russia will outnumber, not only outproduce, but outnumber any combined West force which it theoretically can place there. So, as a result, we are talking about now what? Limited nuclear war on Western part.
Yeah. Russian ambassador to Washington, he said that Kiev will lose significant territory if Washington again ignores Russian proposals for peace talks. When they're talking about, at the same time, we have the same report in the German media. They're talking about that by the end of this year, Ukraine gonna lose a lot of land, and they're gonna lose a lot. And how do you see the right now the situation of Odessa? Because we know Odessa is so important. If Russia let Ukraine keep Odessa, that would be huge for the security of Crimea, because they can use Odessa to attack Crimea. That would be so important for Russia. How do you see the Russian strategy right now?
Two contingencies, I would say. Either direct assault eventually on Odessa once the left bank will be pretty much clear, and taking off Odessa, which of course is a very dubious probability, in the sense that Odessa culturally is very important for Russians, and architecturally it's a beautiful place, and those people from NATO, they don't care about anything. The more Russians die, the better. So that's the only strategy they teach in West Point and elsewhere. But in reality, that could be this thing. Obviously, it's altogether related to how regime in Kiev is going to be compelled to do Russia will, quoting Mr. Clausewitz. And in this case, what may happen if Russia reaches a certain military objectives, strategic military objectives, is that, you know what? They will say, okay, We agree on existence of Ukraine as in some form, but how about the referendum, you know, including on the those areas, and then they can live in some kind of confederation, but with such a provision, which of course is clear. Ukraine is going to be demilitarized because it's already demilitarized to a large extent. It doesn't have the actually mobilization potential in terms of the personnel. So, and they will say, okay, you have your police force, and Odessa Republic appears somehow as part of the confederation with provision that it will leave it at some point of time. And of course, in this case, it will be, well, effectively de facto Russian governorship, you know, governance over this area. It's still going to be formally in some form, you know, how to put it politely, sort of, kind of Ukrainian, but in reality, it will be there under the governance of Russia de facto and eventually de jure. And then that will be over for Ukraine as we know it anyway.
Yeah, it seems these peace talks are getting much more difficult because every time we have a new element coming in and it's going to get much more difficult. Right now is Zelensky's position that Russian or not considering Zelensky as the president of Ukraine.
No, there will be no negotiations with Zelensky. It's so clearly stated by Mr. Lavrov, I believe, recently. So it's, you know, let Ukrainians do whatever they want to do. But Mr. Putin already stated he is illegitimate, period. I'm quoting him. And he says, you know what, it's Ukrainians, you know, business, let them decide on his legitimacy. But in eyes of Russia, he is illegitimate. He is the guy who swung the pendulum of the violence tremendously. And everybody understands he was the CIA or Washington puppet, you know. So it's time for him to leave the stage, either in body bag or in, you know, whatever form or shape, doesn't matter. But the point is, we have to keep in mind that what is known as negotiations, you know, and this is pretty much ideas being pushed primarily through the Western media and the Western, so to speak, you know, political elite. Russia is on the record. She repeats it. Putin, Lavrov, you know, repeat this like ad nauseam, you know, nonstop. No, we're always open for negotiations, but with the consideration of the realities on the ground. And realities on the ground are very simple. There is already all those four administrative regions which are already part of Russia, including their administrative borders at the start of the collapse of the Soviet Union, which is 1991. Of course, Crimea is out of the question. It's Russian territory, period. Doesn't matter. So British may try to attack it and see what is going to happen with their 1.5 destroyers or whatever have left of this Royal Navy. And the question is now, how far? And that's the issue. You know, I don't know. I don't know what the economic plans on taking this basically black hole with the population which hates you onto your balance. Does Russia really want to do this? I don't think so. That's also the part of the issue that Russians just simply kill whatever is being thrown on them. So is it possible that it will happen? Maybe. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not privy to the talks in Kremlin and what general staff is planning. So, and, but yeah, it's possible that Russia will take everything up to the left bank and then go to Odessa, close this, so to speak, perimeter, and that will be it. And the rest of it, yeah, agricultural country, peaceful, you know, with, you know, like, I don't know how many, 30,000 people of police force armed with, you know, Kalashnikovs, that's it. You know, maybe some, you know, police vehicles, that's it. That's what it's going to be. Neutral, very friendly to Russia, and there you go.
Do you think that in Washington they're trying to keep Zelensky up until 2024 presidential election in the United States is over? That's why they're keeping him. Then right after the presidential election, they may remove him from the power and they may replace him with somebody who's willing to accept what Russia is asking for.
Well, it's possible. In the United States, as I already stated, there are no strategists on any level. They simply do not produce them. All those guys sitting there, with smart faces, quoting Clausewitz or Sun Tzu, they are not strategists. They are whiteboard academicians who learned a couple of the quotations from those people. They're all everything what is pa what passes in the United States under the term strategy, including in Pentagon or CIA, what have you, is all tied to the election process in the United States. Period. That is why they cannot win a single war. They try to spin it that they won, but they never won anything, So they barely managed to, sustain some kind of draw, if you wish, in North Korea. And then we know the story, right? So from Vietnam to, Iraq, Afghanistan, and things of this nature. So, and because political class in the United States doesn't understand what real war is. So, but that also is being exacerbated by the fact that practically everything there is tied. Look attentively at the, Vietnam War. Look at missions of Kissinger to Vietnam, to North Vietnam, and basically convincing them that, hey, Nixon comes to power, we're going to get you a better deal. This is how it works. All these wars, they will sell each other, they will sell their families for that. It's all about the spectacle of the American elections, which people in the world sit and scratch their head and like, do they really think that we are that stupid? But that's how they think. And so here we are at the historical moment when it's either all going to collapse in November, or who knows? But judging by the political article today or yesterday, about the panic in the DNC and Biden's administration, there is a panic. They speak about this openly. And whatever it takes, those idiots will continue to think that they know how to run things up to the election. But they do not understand that it's out of their control. They might play with Zelensky, but it's all decided on the battlefield. All of it, always did. Always did. And but again, the way the history is taught in the United States, I mean, I don't know what they're teaching there. So
This 2024 presidential election between Biden and Trump would be so tragic because you see, the other option would be Trump. He said that he would bomb Moscow and Beijing if the conflicts broke out in Ukraine and Taiwan during his presidency.
First, I made a video about this today, by the way. It's Washington Post reporting without providing a shred of evidence when and how did he say it.
Wow.
It's just somebody stated it, and period, nothing. So it's I doubt he did say it. Well, he could have said it, but because he's a blowhard and, a hot air balloon himself, so he didn't mean it, So, in fact, is that most likely it was, as always, they pulled it out of their asses to come up with things as the same as like Russians want to, negotiate, Reuters. Russia always wanted to negotiate, as I just told you, as they say, we're ready to, negotiate whenever you're ready. And this is what is happening. It is all about they're going to be killing each other there, really, over this whole presidential campaign, because we understand it's actually we have to observe either survival or most likely final collapse of the American institution of the presidency, because it's already ridiculous. They lie about each other constantly. The prosecution of Trump, as much as I don't like the guy, again, he is actually full-blown Zionist and warmonger. But the point is, at least he doesn't want to blow the world with anything. And the question is, of course, plus he's very unintelligent man in terms of military affairs, as most of the U.S. administrations are. So, and when you look at this, good God, will we survive until will the country survive? By November, because what we observe is absolute insanity and it's schizophrenia. And when you look attentively here about the sewer of the American media, mainstream media, they make stuff up. They make stuff up about Ukraine. They make stuff up about Putin, about Russia, and all of this. It's basically we live in the cesspool of lies, constant lies. They lie to the left, to the right, to center, what have you. So, and we're looking at the, which, I'm not hiding this position. We're looking at the decomposition of the civil society and political institutions in the United States. Europe is done. But United States is still not there. But we will see where it goes. And again, hopefully we'll live to see there some kind of semblance of the elections in November. But in terms of political process, United States now is the third world country.
What's your take on what's going on right now in Georgia? We had a law of foreign agents passed by Parliament, then vetoed by the president, and then again, and they tried to cancel the veto. Do you think that they're trying to distract Russia from what's going on in Ukraine? Because the Ukrainians are not doing well right now in this fight, or the situation is much more serious in Georgia?
Well, as I already stated, if not for Gorbachev, the United States would continue to actually think that, well, let me put it this way, what Gorbachev did to the Soviet Union, and it's over and done with, but it's kind of the worst mistake of his was not even the collapse of the Soviet Union. He gave the reason to West to think about itself as omnipresent, omnipotent. And now Georgia, and they try to always this, indirect strategy, surround, Russia with their bases, These guys still think in their World War II at best. They don't understand that any American base is between 5 to 1/2 hour flight time before it's going to be wiped out of, of the face from the face of the earth. So, but this is how they think. And they think that, okay, let's poke Russia's, underbelly or, like Georgia. First, Georgia, Russia is very clear. If they want to go and join EU, God bless, But any attempt on doing something stupid. First, you don't need to, how to put it politely, put a lot of forces now to convince Georgia that it shouldn't be doing stupid things to start with. Plus, many people already looked in Georgian political class, they already looked at what happened to Ukraine. They do not want to follow this path. And as the result, those NGOs, non-governmental organizations, which actually this law is against, they have to be removed. And guess what? They already overcame the veto of this former French citizen who barely speaks Georgian language, their president, and they will start the process of removing of those organizations, and that will kind of gives them chance on their more or less peaceful development. It is extremely poor country. It is extremely poor country. Tbilisi is a crap hole for the most part, So they used to be kind of, this charming, the town and all that. So, and what they see now is that they didn't want Russians there. What happened? They are very much dependent on the Russian market because primarily their production is the agricultural, vines, grapes, things of this nature. And guess what? Only Russia buys that. Once they become part of EU, which by the way, and NATO, which all those NGOs were there to, push this agenda, guess what? They will be gone. The Georgian nation will not exist anymore as such in really, really fast. Especially when you consider the fact that they have Turks next to them, and Adjaria, which is pretty much now occupied by Turkey in a financial, in a peaceful means. You go to Adjaria today, you will hear more Turkish language than Georgian one. So, and some people who evidently didn't sell themselves out completely, they understood that. So they need Russian market, and if they don't have Russia, they don't have future. And that's what is happening. This is what is this all about. So Russians say, hey, we're fine. Yeah, you want to trade? Sure. No problem.
And There is a report in Wall Street Journal. They're talking about the United States is getting ready to fight China. And Michael McCall, they were sending a lot of weapons to Taiwan, and Michael McCall said that we, unlike Ukraine, we're sending the latest generations of weapons to Taiwan. And they're admitting that they send a lot of rapid weapons to Ukraine. Unbelievable. And how do you see the danger of having a direct conflict between China and the United States in Taiwan? How do you see the policy on the part of the United States right now toward China?
There is no policy. There are only ambitions of the semi-literate people who graduated from all those military academies in the United States, where they studied their confabulated history about how United States defeated the invasion of the aliens from planet Zoltar and saved humanity. Those are militarily incompetent people. They still think within the framework of the World War II and in the same framework of the air land or whatever the hell they each time they come up with a new title for this operation, the only thing they can do, launch, hurl a bunch of the cruise missiles and then think that they somehow US Air Force or carrier aviation will defeat everybody. They don't understand the realities, technological realities of the modern naval warfare. Their latest versions are the same old longer range harpoons, which is, it used to be 250 kilometers. Now they extended its range to something like about 500 kilometers. So they supposedly can do their over the horizon targeting. That's about it. It's all subsonic. And the question is now, what, how they're gonna do anything after there will be there what is called response, head-on strike, for example, from Chinese, and especially if Russians provide the very reliable targeting and some really interesting weapon systems will fly. They don't know how to deal with this. They cannot admit it to themselves that basically, as I already stated, they are stuck in 1990s. And the only thing they do is being bullies. Again, as I already stated, United States militarily is perennial loser. They, show me the winning record. Show me the record where it says United States went out there alone and fought first-rate military power, continental military power, and won. There's none. Even the D-Day was, for people who read real history, not this BS they teach in the Harvard or whatever, for example, from such as people like David Eisenhower, the grandson, this outstanding book. Well, practically the whole, overlord was predicated upon the ac actions of the Red Army. That's how it was negotiated in Tehran, 1943. But of course, these facts are kind of removed, So you have all those guys like, oh yeah, we went out there and saved the world. No, you didn't. But doesn't mean that, you have to treat easily the sacrifice and heroism of people who went in there. No, they are heroic people. They did their duty properly, But you know what? How about we stop now inventing history, inventing military science, which is not there? But that's what it is. So they think now that they can fight China. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous because their economic might and some support from Russia or China, there is no match there. So, and it's going to end up really badly for United States Navy and God forbid western coast of the United States. Screw them. I live here. You know what? I have vested interest to for this place to be kind of prosper and safe, So.
We know that the West is not capable to have a conventional war with Russia. That would be so much dangerous if they get involved with Russia or China directly, because that would bring the use of nuclear bombs. I think that would be the end. How do you see, can we survive such a direct confrontation?
In terms of European theater, I want to repeat practically what I've been repeating for many years, 10 years. They go in, the threatening period begins. That's defined by Russian military doctrine. threatening period when the intentions of your enemy are becoming clear. That means what? They gather preposition forces to attack you. So they still believe that, you know, Air Force, U.S. Air Force is so great, you know, and things of this nature. The problem is you need to indeed preposition force. There are still some competent people in Pentagon on the, you know, operation planning level. They calculate required force. They calculate what you need. Granted, they still use all kinds of those math expectations, which are complete baloney, you know, and sucked out of the finger during the, you know, Gulf War. That means what? It's not real war. It's been the Turkish show, you know? So, and even at the pre-deployment phase, when you gather the forces, now, it's already they could be extremely vulnerable and could be attacked and with the devastating consequences. So by the time they would be able to deploy and attack, they will be already, you know, dramatically reduced in their striking power. And then, of course, yeah, they may try to attack Russians directly on the line, on the front. What can I say? It's going to end up really badly, and no person in the United States is ready to accept. And I'm giving you American data. I'm giving you the you know, joint force quarter, no, parameters, the Parameters magazine, and the Tradoc people writing about it. Is United States ready to accept daily losses of 3,600 people killed and wounded daily, 24 hours? Is the United States ready? No. There is not a single person in the United States who understands what does it mean. None. Zero. Do not exist. And especially in Pentagon, those people have no clue what they're talking about. And especially when the things will begin to fly, where their family and families live and things of this nature. You know, then suddenly you begin to lose not just only your personnel on the front line, you begin to lose your property, you begin to lose your children, your wives, mothers, and things like that. These people in Washington, they have no clue what it is. These are ignoramuses which have been brought up in the system of the completely collapsed, you know, American education, including the military one. It's like really laughable when some guy from, oh yeah, I went to Afghanistan. Sure, you know, what are you going to do when you have actually, you know, 20 calibers flying at you, you know? So see what, how you're going to do. And that's the whole thing. They do not understand that. They do not understand even what the, for example, a real serious artillery fire raid, not the actual sustained fire from the self-propelled guns. I'm talking about raid. That means what? One or two, what's the name of it? Self-propelled guns get into a position, and if they don't know what it is, you can shoot actually two, three, or even more shells, which gonna be flying different trajectory, but they will come in almost simultaneously, you know? So they never dealt with it, let alone the dealing with, you know, on the operational rear. They don't know what it is. They think that they will be like 100 kilometers from the line and they will be safe. They're not. They will be, you know, detected, tracked down and killed. And that's the thing which they cannot understand, completely comprehend, but they feel it. And they have to act like this. Bullying, you know, all those, you know, larger than life statements and things of this nature. But military and real war is absolutely cruel. It doesn't forgive all this garbage, you know, Hollywood garbage. And you know what? They tattoo themselves, you know, they look like, you know, cool guys, you know, and things like that. And what happens next? You have the body parts, you know, thrown all over the place. Well, I guess they need to learn really what real life is about. And there you go.
Andre, how do you see the situation right now in Gaza? They're trying to attack. They're attacking, not trying. They're attacking Rafah right now.
From what I can say, it's same old. They don't have plan B. They don't have plan B. They have been taught that they are greatest military, you know, in the world, you know. So, and they're being humiliated. I agree with Scott Ritter on this matter, you know. They are being humiliated. What? They started this operation when? More than half a year ago. Show me their money, except for the genociding people, children, women, you know, so, and what they did with this tent city, you know, killing yesterday or 2 days ago, right? So they don't have, I guess, good optical electronic systems on the F-15 or F-35 that they cannot recognize that they are looking at the 10th city, really. I mean, it's complete. I mean, it's a war crime. It's a crime against humanity.
There is a report by Politico. It says that 30 to 35% of Hamas forces have been killed, and 65% of tunnels are still intact, and Hamas recruited thousands of new forces. And at the end of the day, do you think that they have accurate information from what's going on right now in Gaza, or they're speculating on these numbers?
Everything what US media reports on any kind of the conflict is pure speculation or it's tied to some specific agenda. They can report whatever they want, they can go into the whatever general staff in, in Israel and they will tell them, this upbeat information, yeah, I spoke about yesterday, Forbes. Oh my God, what Ukraine was telling us about its successes cannot be verified. Well, there you go. You had the freaking American generals buying this BS. You had the people writing in those, professional magazines that, yeah, this old lady with the, jar of the pickled tomato shut down, Kinjal, hypersonic missile. So yeah, that's your level of, professionalism or lack thereof, rather. So, and yeah, they can report whatever they want. For example, like Russians lost already what? 500,000 people in special military operation. You know what? I don't want to go and quote this thing. It's in my book about the what Western journalism is. So, but yeah, it's normal people don't go there. There are no normal people, people with integrity or anything. They are all prostitutes. They write what they've been told to do. So, and those few who have integrity or humanity in them, they leave. So there you go. But majority stay because they love it. So they lie.
Yeah, the other thing that's so important is how this conflict in Gaza has hurt the United States' position in the Middle East.
Well, it's weakening, obviously, no doubt about it. And again, it is we have to keep in mind from what I know that the feeling on the Arab street and Arab governments are not the same, And again, anybody who comes out here begins to pull fingers about, oh, democracy, elections, and things like that, it's all crap, okay? So the same as it is totally corrupt as it is now here, And the point is, there is not the sum which won't buy any Arab leader there. Okay, let me put it this way. And the question is not only the political expediency, for example, like people say that, yeah, the Egypt cannot do this and that, they cannot take in their refugees and things of this nature because they are poor. Well, guess what? They just blew out, what, $55 billion on building this stupidest thing, the new capital city near Cairo, which is absolutely useless, frankly. This vanity project, and they don't have money, to help people. But yeah, sure, whatever. Corruption is endemic in this area, and it will take some time before it kind of sorts itself out. But Arab Street will continue to be Arab Street, and Arab governments will continue to be Arab governments. But some of them, of course, now are visiting Moscow, like the King of Bahrain 2 days ago, So yeah, there's a lot of kind of movement there. So, and we need to observe basically what's going to happen once Turkey decides, what it wants to do with itself, And evidently, Erdogan, he lost the moment. He could have been the leader. He could have been the man who would actually extend the sort of shield, for Palestinians, he didn't. Iran did. So there you go. And one are Sunnis and another Shiites. Well, guess what? Who Arab Street is looking at now with admiration? I don't think so. It's Turkey.
Andre, just to wrap up this session, I think the conflict in Ukraine is changing totally the Russian type of thinking toward some countries like Iran. They, when before this conflict, started, they were hesitant to give military equipments. Just they were so hesitant in sending these weapons to Iran and some countries like Iran. And right now they're producing a lot. That's why that could change the face of selling these type of weapons to Iran and other countries. Do you see? And even China is a good market for Russia. China, Iran, these countries who are friendly with Russia. How do you see this industry, the future of this industry in Russia?
Primarily, the main factor behind Russia's hesitance of providing Iran with the most advanced types of weapons was actually the fact that all the relations, good relations between Russia and Israel, and of course, personal relations between Mr. Putin and Netanyahu. This is gone now. Russia has no, impediment to trading and providing very advanced systems. We know that Su-35s are coming to Iranian air forces, and we know that probably S-400s are coming. So a lot of things are coming Iranian way, and especially now that you have the, which is very important, not completion, but work in progress, but it's working very actively of the North-South corridor. Of course, Russia is also interested that Iran now have means to defend it. This from Murmansk to Bandar Abbas and to the Indian Ocean. So there you go. And there's a lot of things which are going on there, which are all intertwined. It's like complex gear mechanism. You turn one gear and bunch of other gears begin to move. So that's what we are observing right now. And Iran is well, how to put it politely, if almost close ally to a, well, not quite ally, but you know what, a very important friendly country in Russian considerations.